It's a good crowd here. Thank you for coming, and Pastor Jerry for having me come, and I appreciate the kindness to have this happen, even though it's the middle of the winter up here. And I went to Maine because that's where my – I went to Michigan, excuse me. My brother's in Maine, but I went to Michigan to see my wife's brother and his sister and their families a little over a week ago, and it was at night it was 10 below zero and snow and wind, and just about died. So I got back on the plane last Wednesday night in Toledo, Ohio, because that's close to where they live, and it's 10 above, and it was going down fast. And we got on the plane, flew to Florida, and it was 66 degrees. I roughed it. Somebody has to live there, so we lived there. So, but appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm really thrilled. This church here in this particular area of New York, and seeing God use you, and your pastor being faithful to God, and seeing the work of God go on here and now with the building program, and I was looking at that and see the expansion and different things that you have in mind, a real vision, and people trying to win souls to Christ and doing the best we can. We live in this terrible world with all kinds of things seemingly every day is a shocker. It's like you almost don't get shocked anymore if you watch the news and seeing what's happening. But there's one thing that's beautiful tonight, and that is God and God's his unfailing faithfulness to continually be available to us to bless us and to provide for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening. We ask, God, we just come before you humbly tonight and pray that you would just share with us from your word some truths here concerning your patience towards us. And we ask, God, that you would work in each life. We don't know the needs that might be here tonight, people that are struggling with personal sin, people who are struggling with great loss, those that may be in the valley of great decision, not knowing what to do next, maybe relationship problems, a mother, a husband with a wife, and so forth, and children who are maybe in the places of great, maybe decisions that will really harm them. And so, Father, we know that you, who are so sensitive to those who will be faithful to draw near to you, will speak peace and comfort and guidance and give guidance if we just wait on you. And so tonight we pray that you'll give us patience as we wait on you. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Tonight, if you turn to Philippians chapter 4 just this evening, I wanted to speak on something here. You have to remember that the background of Philippians is that Paul is in prison. And the first chapter deals with people who have been in competition with him as far as his leadership. They were really, some of them really happy that he was in prison, and some were not. But those that were happy that he was in prison was because they seized the opportunity to take his place and to do what they thought was the right thing to do. And then there were others who were competing with him who thought that they were better than him, that they had a better message, and they criticized his message. But Paul said, you know what, I really don't care. He says in the first chapter, as long as the gospel is preached, if it's in pretense or if it's done with maybe the wrong motive or something, that somehow God would take and use that message and that would change people's lives in spite of what they might be saying about me or what they might think about the Word of God. So Paul had learned at this point in his life, and he probably became the apostle at somewheres I guess it was somewhere around 46 A.D. or whatever. He may have known Christ, he may have seen Christ, but certainly as a Pharisee had been very critical of Christianity and even slaughtered some of the church, took them out of their beds at night and threw them into prison, as it says there in Acts chapter 7 through 9. So Paul had gone through a lot of things, and he'd been through some very difficult things. We never hear much about his personal life as far as his relationship. Now, being a devout Pharisee as he was supposed to have been married, but we don't hear much about his wife if he was married. So maybe either she forsook him or had died or whatever, but he doesn't seem to bring much up about that. But here's this man, and like all of us tonight, in a position of where God is trying to perfect in us his perfect will. You see, we live today in a very interesting time, a very impatient day. Everybody wants everything done, and it would be better if it was done yesterday. We don't want to wait for anything. We expect it to be done. There's no patience. About 45, 50 years ago, that was a different story. People spent a lot of time waiting for things to become a reality in their lives. And because of that, we find that humanity is extremely restless today as never before. And that's why, the digital age as it is, I was just looking online with my cell phone, researching just a thought tonight that I was thinking I wanted to mention, and I found it. And it's like 25, 30 different sources that you can find just about any information you need, and all kinds of, different websites and stuff that you can draw stuff from. So our generation now has the ability to be able to be so in tune with almost anything in the world. Something pops in your mind, you hear something, whatever, go online, you can find it. Used to be it took years and sometimes decades for people to find information and dig through books and old dusty libraries to find something, and then they weren't always content with that or able to get it because of it. But today, it seems to be that because of the ability to do that, everybody's so impatient to know it now. Now, I want it now. I don't want to wait. I want my life to be the such a way as it is. So patience is closely related to waiting on God tonight. Now, I don't want this to be a real deep message any more than just really understanding the reality of how God thinks about our needs and what he wants to do for us tonight, and how he really has a concern that each one of us be perfected into being what he has intended for us. And every one of us, I think, tonight want that, don't we? We really want to be all that God wants us to be. We want to be in the right place where God wants us to be. We want to do the right thing. We want to make sure that our life counts with God, that it's not just wasted on ambitions that don't seem to bring any production that seems to matter with reality. And so Jill Caratini, who is with the Ravi Zacharias Foundation, she wrote this thing. She said, there's a phrase in Latin that summarizes the idea that the shape of our deepest affections is the shape of our lives. And I won't use the Latin words, but she says an axiom of the ancient Christian church meant that the rule of worship is the rule of belief, is the rule of life. The rule of worship, what we worship, and the rule of what we believe in becomes the rule of our life. So, if I'm spending time in the Word of God, and that's not so hard to do, even though we have real busy schedules, but if I really spend time asking God and meditating on the Word of God, God is going to meet me and develop my life so that what I worship becomes the rule of what I believe, which becomes the rule for my life. Now, a long time, 7 months since my wife passed into eternity. And I had some choices to make after 50 years. And I wanted to continue on, and I didn't want to become a casualty. So I wanted to make sure that God has the first place in my life. So I did some time of making little cards that have memory verses on them. And in the morning when I get up, I go over those. They're promises from God. And then I try to spend time praying. And we have the luxury of being close to Lake Seminole, which is literally 1,000 yards away from where I live. I go over there, and because I have the time, I sit in the afternoons just meditating on God. And I ask God, I said, God, help me be patient with you. I don't want to jump into anything that would rob me of the blessing that you have in store. And every one of us tonight, I think you want that too for your life. We don't want to be rushing into things and being impatient with God and demanding this and that. No matter what it might be, if you lost a loved one, if you've had a bad relationship, if there's been a loss of a job, you had to change a number of things, you want to be sure that God is in it, right? That's the most important thing. So the reality is that if the rule of worship, what I worship, becomes the rule of what I believe, then that will in turn give me the rule for my life. And that takes waiting on God. Now, this Jill Carbottini said this. She said that we seem to have a worship possibilities where freedom is understood as the absence of limitation upon our choices, and where the virtue of good multitasking has replaced the virtue of one thing, the singleness of heart. It is understandable that we both truly and metaphorically all over the place, mentally, spiritually, and even bodily, people just completely and totally just kind of lost in the sea of everything that's going on. And instead of having our hearts really solidly set, can I just share tonight, just say this, that God is not so much interested, and I've been learning this more than ever from the Word of God, that he's not so much interested in how successful I think I am, or how much I seem to have accomplished, or how much I understand about certain things in reality of life. He's more concerned about, did I spend time just listening to him and thinking about him and letting him control my understanding. So the thing about waiting patiently on God is, as James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8 speaks about, it says, "My brethren, you count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." This is in the New King James. "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If you lack wisdom, ask of God, and he gives you liberally, and he doesn't hold back." That's really a comfort tonight. How many times have we asked God for wisdom and then just impatiently went on our way, trying to work it out the way we wanted instead of listening? And so he says, because it'll have a perfect work. That's why Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings, with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." I love the Old Testament. I taught it for several years in Bible college. I love the Old Testament stories. Sometimes today people don't want to hear that. Many churches just have the narrative of some story. They throw in a verse here or there. But I like the narratives of the Old Testament, what the Bible has to say. Because those people, God allowed them to be recorded in history in the Old Testament so that we would learn from them. But I remember when Daniel in chapter 10, verses 1 through 6 and then 11 and 12, it speaks about he was mourning for 3 weeks, 21 days. He ate nothing. He just took rank water, I guess. And on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes in verse 5 and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Ephah's around his waist. His body was like beryl, and his face like the appearance of lightning, and his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. You know, we're going to have this, Pastor Jerry's going to be teaching, I guess, 22 weeks on the book of Revelation. The first chapter, this is an exact picture of what it was kind of like. This is a picture of Christ visiting him as a theophany, an Old Testament vision of something that man could understand, because God is a spirit. But he says this in verse 11, and he said, "O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken his word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, 'Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. And I have come because of your words.'" That's something? You know, there's no wasted prayers tonight. Just understand that. It's just a matter of patience. And sometimes, because we get so occupied with other things, when it's answered, we forget that we prayed because we weren't patient to pursue what God had said. You see? So tonight, just remember, and I'm saying this myself. Whenever I say you, just remember, I'm just saying to you as I am to myself, God answers our prayers. Daniel waited 21 days. It was a serious situation. And finally, God himself came in the form of a theophany and said, "You know what, Daniel? You're greatly loved." Do you know that tonight? Every one of us here tonight are greatly loved. I can't emphasize that more than tonight. To understand, if you trusted Christ as your Savior, that you are the intense focus of his love tonight. When the thief was on the cross and he hung there and he just acknowledged who Jesus Christ was, he didn't spend a lot of time of proclaiming what he knew about Christ. He didn't know much about Christ. He just knew that here was the Son of God who was there. He believed in him. And you know what? Jesus said this, today, you haven't got anything, your hands are nailed or strapped to the tree or whatever, you're going to die here, you're going to die. But today, no works, can't do anything, can't preach, they think you're a fool. But today, you'll be with me in paradise. Unbelievable. Jesus made that promise. That thief is with Jesus in paradise tonight. Now, the reason why is because God loves us, and he hears our prayers. And that thief's prayer, God answered it immediately. Today, thief, you'll be with me in paradise. Now, remember Martha greeted Jesus, and Jesus had kind of delayed coming. And remember that Lazarus had died. They wrapped him in clothes, his clothes, linen and stuff, put him in the cave, the grave, and he was dead as, that was it. Just dead. And finally, Jesus shows up, and Martha says to Jesus, you know what? If you just come when you should have come, that's an everyday language here, but if you just come when you should have come, this wouldn't have happened. Lazarus would be still alive, but he's dead because you didn't come. And Jesus said, okay, Martha, just be quiet. Lazarus, come forward. Don't call him forward. He's going to smell like dead flesh and stuff. Don't call. No, I want him to come forth. Come on. Take off the grave clothes and stuff and come in. Come right here. I want to see him. So he called, and Lazarus came forth from the grave. And they had Lazarus for another however long after that. But the reality is this, you see, the impatience of people and my impatience and your impatience is something that God says, I need to rule that out because I want you to understand, every time you have to wait on something, I'm perfecting you. Something's happening. Something's being rooted out. But God, I want it now. No, not going to give it. I want you to think about it. Wait on me some more. I'm going to work something in. I'm going to change you. I'm perfecting you. So that it says there in James where it says that, you know, that trial actually works patience. So it has a perfect work in us. So the impatience of today is so important for us to realize that we have to be careful about these things. I was thinking, I read this article about bamboo. Who cares about bamboo? But I mean, bamboo is an interesting thing. In the Orient, it's used a lot for building and construction, believe it or not. If you went to India, you would find that bamboo, when they construct buildings and stuff, they use bamboo poles to add all around the foundation at each level to get it so that they can build onto that and they can add in, and then they finally put the blocks and stuff in. But the bamboo is pretty powerful, and it's used for a lot of things. You know that there's a certain bamboo that's grown only in China. And there's multiple different varieties, like in it with vegetation and so forth. But this bamboo is an interesting bamboo. When they plant it, the first year, after a long year, watering it, fertilizing it, doing whatever, it doesn't grow an inch. It just barely shows from the, it may be a little nub or something come out of the soil. And then another year goes by, and they keep doing that. They keep watering it and keep fertilizing. Maybe grows maybe just a little bit more. You know what? It takes almost 5 to 7 years before that finally, 1 year, it just grows, and it grows like to 14 to 15 feet high. Unbelievable. Well, what happened those other years? The roots were being grown. Deep, deep. Now, in Florida, we have these ferns and different things, these different types of trees and stuff. And the other day, we were coming into church, and I noticed this beautiful, we kept it trimmed, and it was shaped well, and all this, I mean, amount of effort to keep things in order, so they, because there's so much growth, was intense. And this beautiful tree with all this shaped trunk that goes up and beautiful leaves are like that, bam, had fallen flat on the ground. So I went over and I looked, and the roots were like 6 inches long. So a strong wind had come by and knocked the thing over because it didn't have any roots. You see, it takes patience for God to grow roots in us and to get to the place where we'll see God's hand eventually produce the fruit that only God can produce. Tamerlan, who was I had the privilege of being in Uzbekistan, Samarkand, Uzbekistan. The city capital is Samarkand, and it was very interesting. In the middle of the city is this. It's a very Muslim place, but we had a church there, underground church. We met and we preached and taught and sang quietly, and people getting saved left and right. And in the middle of the city was this statue of Tamerlan. Tamerlan was one of the most brutal dictators who tried to reestablish the Genghis Khan dynasty, where Genghis Khan, if you remember, he went all across Asia and just destroyed everybody on the face of the earth and established his kingdom and his authority. But after he died, Tamerlan had this vision to become the same. Now, he was as ruthless as Genghis Khan was, but the point was this. One day, he had been shot by 2 arrows through his leg, and he limped and made his way into a barn. And in the darkness of the barn, there was a light that came in on one area, and he saw this ant that would start down at the bottom. He had a kernel of corn. The kernel of corn was like 10 times bigger than the ant. And that little ant went up, was trying to climb up to a spot where he would had a pile of the corn, kernels of corn. And so he goes up, and he falls back. And Tamerlan's watching this, and he goes back up, and he falls back. And he goes up, and this time he goes a little farther, but he falls back and keeps going up and up. And Tamerlan said he watched that for almost an hour, that ant, try to get that piece of corn, that kernel of corn, up to the top. Finally, he was able to get it up there. And Tamerlan says he learned a lesson. He said, you know what? If an ant takes that much time to get something so simple as some food for him to a specific place, he says, I can wait and keep pursuing and keep going after what I want and what my desire is until it finally comes to pass. And you know, with God, it's real. If you're maybe there's some here tonight and you're interested in, you know, you want to really count for God in this, in a way in which you minister to people, maybe to be a missionary. I've been with missionaries all over the world. I've been to 68 countries and ministered and taught and worked with missionaries all over the world. I keep getting all kinds of emails and text messages. I had one this morning from France, southern France. This guy who's actually the world's one of the world's greatest bass guitar players. He took 2 years, and all he did, about 10 hours a day, was absolutely practice and did nothing for 2 solid years, and he became one of the world's best. He's on records all over the world today, and his name is Dominique Di Piazzo, and he's unbelievable. This guy found Christ as his Savior in Uchaud, France, And he's been out, he still goes out with the band, but you know what he does? Everywhere he goes, he witnesses for Christ. And he does everything he can to present the gospel to people. And people come to know Christ through his efforts. But I was thinking, you know, who wants to spend 2 solid years playing bass guitar 10 hours a day? That's like unbelievable. But he had a burden in his heart. He felt, if I can do that, then some way I can reach a segment of the world that nobody else would reach with the gospel. So the point that I'm making here this morning, this evening, is that God is very, very interested in people consistently pursuing until that God brings to pass what is necessary. Now, in Proverbs 8, verse 34 through 36, is a very convicting set of verses, because it says this: "Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates," Proverbs 8, 34 through 36, "waiting beside my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death." God's saying here in Proverbs, he's saying basically, listen, it's never wasted time when you pursue me. If you go after me and keep going after me and keep going, doing what you can, keep memorizing the word, keep studying it, keep going after it, keep asking God, what does this mean? You know what? I've read the Bible several times in my life, but every time I come to a passage of late, it's like a brand new, fresh revelation. God speaks to my heart. That's the promise of God that comes through patience. And that's what makes us different from just the casual Christian who just says, you know, they want to sing and worship and carry on and stuff, but they really have no substance to their life, and they don't really have a vision for God because they haven't had a chance to be in a place where God can use them. So this, in conclusion this evening, and I guess we're going to maybe have a wrap or something later there, but the Augustine of Hippo, who was one of the great preachers of the day, and one of the early church fathers. If you've ever read anything about Augustine, he was very influential. And this great church leader said that there was a time when his soul was too cramped for God to enter. So he prayed that God would empty it so that God might have a bigger place in his heart. How many things are so cluttered our lives? And God says, listen, I want to just stop getting so cluttered with things. Some people just thrive on different things that just completely control their lives and takes away any capacity for God to have a bigger place in their life. I don't know about you tonight, but in conclusion, I want to have a bigger place in my heart for God. I want him to patiently deal so that he can perfect and make us in a place where we'll be the most effective for God. The thing is, it doesn't mean that I accomplish any great things. It's just that he knows me. We have a relationship. We talk. He understands. I'm growing to understand him. These are eternal things. That's 90% of the reason why we're on this earth and why when we got saved, he didn't call us home. That's the reason that when we lose loved ones and when we have people leave our lives and when things happen, that God says, listen, I just want you to be faithful and get to know me. Just get to know me. Thief on the cross didn't have much to say. Had no testimony, hadn't memorized any verses, hadn't done anything but been a thief. But he just simply acknowledged Christ, and Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." So, as Christians who have life, what more God has in store for us if we simply pursue him? Father, this evening we thank you so much for this church and obviously those that have come here to this church faithfully who are determined to know God. Thank you, Father, for their lives. Bless them with the reward for their patience to wait on you. Father, bless Pastor Jerry and his teaching as a pastor and his love for his people. And Father, for Karen and all of those that labor here too with him. And thank you, Lord, that we're in a perfect plan whereby you're perfecting us. Give us patience so that we don't run ahead of the course. And thank you, Father, that the promise is that in time, God will reveal what he wants for our lives, and he'll make our lives transformed and perfected to be exactly what he had in store for his perfect plan for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, and we just love you. In your precious name, amen. Thank you.